Hi, I'm Sam Fesich from the EduMagic Podcast, a part of the Education Podcast Network, just like the show you're listening to now. Shows on the network are individually owned and opinions expressed may not reflect others. Find other interesting education podcasts at edupodcastnetwork.com.
I try to start with making sure that every educator is reflective. So no matter where you are in your educational path, you have to think about what you do each day.
Welcome to the Leader of Learning podcast. This is where educators can come to find inspiration to transform education through effective leadership. I'm your host, Dr. Dan Krynas, and my research and leadership experiences have led me to understand that someone like you, regardless of your role or your title, can truly make an impact in your organization. I chat with amazing guests who epitomize what it truly means to be a leader of learning. I'm so glad you've tuned in. Let's get started. Hey, Leader of Learning, welcome to episode 105. If you're a loyal listener, thanks for coming back again. If you're tuning in for the first time, I know you're going to get a lot of value out of this episode and out of this show. So please do me that favor and subscribe to the podcast so that you're notified of every new episode right when it comes out. In this episode with my guest, Jamie Fowler White, we're going to talk a lot about the place that reflection holds in education and how it's not just for new teachers, but really should be for all teachers. And in reality, for all educators. I don't know about you, but I love to reflect almost every day and certainly every once in a while about how I'm doing in my job, how my schools and the students in those schools are doing in terms of their academic performance, and really a more lofty goal of how is it that I am helping to impact and influence change and push education and instruction forward in more modern and innovative ways. So I know that you're going to get a lot of value out of this episode and this interview, and I want to get right to it. So coming up is my interview with Jamie Fowler White. So it's my privilege to be speaking with in this episode Jamie Fowler White, again, another in a long line of interviews and episodes I've done lately with members of the Teach Better Mastermind. And that's just because I think the world of so many of these amazing leaders who are part of this mastermind and this new small PLN of just amazingly powerful people. So Jamie, welcome on, and please, if you could, just tell everybody, you know, who you are, where you are, and what you do.
I'm so glad that you invited me to speak with you today. I'm Jamie Fowler White. I am currently an assistant principal in Shelby County Schools in Memphis, Tennessee. This is my 23rd year in education. I spent 10 years in the classroom, 10 years as an instructional coach, and I am now in the leadership program to principalship in my district. In addition to that, I write books for teachers. I have an Educator Reflection Tips book series. The second volume is slated to publish the end of March. I'm working with the publishing company on that, so I'm excited about that. My husband and I started the Digital PD for You. It's a professional development group, and we publish just leadership tips. We also publish tips for teachers on our website and on Twitter. And we actually do individual consultations. I also write a blog for Teach Better, The Better Mindset. It publishes once a month. And I do a bi-monthly leadership blog for Insight Advance Education Group. I think that's kind of me in a nutshell. That's all.
That's great. That's a lot of stuff. That's awesome. I guess I wanted to really just start with some of that, some of the work you do, some of the content you put out. And let me start by asking you about Digital PD for You. What is that? When did you get started? And I guess, you know, where do you want to take it maybe too?
Well, it actually started as just quick tips for teachers on Twitter. In November 2019, I started working to build my PLN on Twitter. I like to learn things every day. I just think that everyone should be a lifelong learner. And so as I was scrolling through, I was like, oh, you know, every teacher should be doing this. And so I would retweet, and I started a series called Educator Reflection Tips. And it would just be just a quick question. Hey, how are you using this? If you're not using this, at the bottom is a quick, well, it's like a quick professional development just to get you started, just a little tip to get you started and say, hey, why don't you use this? So I started those. I did about 50 of those tips for teachers. And then I realized that, you know, the characters are limited on Twitter. And I was like, that's not enough space for me to really impact the instructional practice of an educator. And so I built Digital PD for You and started actually putting out a full scale blog in the article format, which started with a question, which it could have been anything about like, how often do you reflect on your instructional practice? It could be about classroom management, and I would craft the question, put some information in, and I will always tag resources at the bottom so that if you really wanted to implement that, you could. So I attached those resources, attached a few questions for you to think about as you plan to implement that. And then it went from there. After about a year of doing the blog, my husband and I decided we wanted to take that to the world. And so he published a couple of books. We published them under our company. And we offer like anything. My husband specializes in like race, equity, those type of areas. And I do all things education. And so we're just looking to just help as many educators as we can, especially since we're in this virtual environment. A lot of educators are missing that one-to-one time, coaching time that they would actually have. And so that's pretty much what we are aiming to do with our company.
That's amazing. I'm actually on the website right now, and you've mentioned your husband, and I'm sort of kicking myself for maybe not getting the both of you on here at the same time, but you're referring to Dr. Frederick White, 21-year veteran educator, and has some amazing credentials behind him as well. And so this is really cool. You definitely have a lot of resources on here, including I'm seeing here tools for national board certification, instructional coaching tools and tips. You mentioned before like reflection tips. So really cool stuff that you've been able to, it sounds like, kind of take from that idea of let me share some thoughts on Twitter to, you know what, I need a bigger and better space to do that. Let's take it to the web. And you had that website. And now even, you know, printing and publishing publishing some of this as well. It's really cool. I guess I wanted to go more micro here and ask you, as a 20-plus year veteran, of the classroom, coaching and administration, what are some of the things that you yourself have been really focused on when it comes to education and your role in it?
I try to start with making sure that every educator is reflective. So no matter where you are in your educational path, be it in the classroom, if you are coaching other educators, if you're a leader, you have to think about what you do each day. A lot of people look to other people to give them the feedback they need to become better, but I think it should start from within. And so I talk to educators a lot of times about a four-step self-reflection process. The first step is just with that teaching, and be it teaching children, be it teaching teachers, be it teaching yourself, some component that you want to implement into your practice. It's just all of that planning, looking at the data, looking at setting a goal of where you actually want to be, that type of thing. And then the second step is to assess. So you have to figure out how you're going to actually, what your process is going to be for reviewing that data to see if how you are making progress towards your goals. And most people do those first two steps, but the third step is where most people don't quite get what they need. It's that unmasking the truth is what I call it. And that is your ability to impartially look at that data and say, no, I didn't. I missed the mark totally. Or yes, I did. And so most people only do those first two because you have to really actually be comfortable saying, hey, I didn't make it, I failed, and I really want to do better. And then you'll have to explore and find new practices, new things that you can actually implement. And then that fourth one is either to work to reverse the findings that you had or work to duplicate. And so even if you actually are making progress, like, have you actually been thinking about your process along the way so that you can actually duplicate that and replicate it over and over and over again. And so when you think about student achievement, when you think about improving your instructional practice at your school or just overall outcomes, like, I think that is the key to everyone being better. What do you think about that?
I have a couple of thoughts here. First of all, I love that three-step process, and it reminds me of, I don't know about you or any other states or areas where people work and practice the craft of education, but in the state of Connecticut where I live, we have a new teacher mentor program. And basically new teachers and student teachers enter into essentially a 2 to 3 year long process where they're actually doing some of this work alongside of a mentor. And I know a lot about it because I am a mentor. And what we do with our new teachers is, just like you said, put them through this kind of a reflective process over the course of five different modules, where for four of them, they have to actually put in some action research, reflect on a problem of practice, basically, and then come up with way between the new teacher and the mentor, come up with ways of shifting things, and then ideally come out with implications on the teacher's practice and implications for student learning. Ideally, of course, you want those things to succeed. And then I think what you said is amazingly important, which is, if it did succeed, how can you sustain it over time? But if it didn't, how can you then reflect again and likely go through another phase of sort of that action research to see if we can, I forget the word you use, but basically to change it and make it better the next time. But I'm also thinking, and I know you're a big fan here, so I'm kind of preaching to the choir a little bit, and I'd love to get your thoughts, is that it's definitely a mindset. Like, I'm wondering to myself as we're both talking, sharing these stories and things. So even if, let's say in a perfect world, our new teachers, especially the teachers who are within their first couple of years in the profession, are doing this, then at what point do they kind of stop doing this? Because I don't think everybody is, like you say, as reflective as we want them to be. And really, like you said, sometimes people don't get to that third step where they're really saying, how can I change this or how can I sustain it? In my opinion, it's because they get at some point too comfortable. And that comfort zone is super dangerous. And so this is why I think that both of us are very similar, because I know that we're big fans of like growth mindset and getting out of the comfort zone. So I guess my questions to you are, like, when do you see that happening and how do you see that happening?
Well, I think a lot along with that, getting comfortable, I think a lot of people are not comfortable being uncomfortable. And so everyone deals with the change process in their own way. And so part of getting people to self-reflect is to help them to become comfortable with change and taking them through how to navigate that process and where they are in the process. Because most of the time when people get to that third stage of self-reflection, they can't move beyond and unmask the truth because that's uncomfortable. Because when no one is comfortable not meeting the expectations that they set. And so I see it once I actually do like some mindset moments. At my school, we do a motivational moment each morning. We had been only doing it at the beginning of each semester, just to make sure that we all were in the right mindset for education. But during this virtual environment, like, we need a reset every day. And so it is just, we do a quote, we do like a motivational video, and we actually just have every educator to give us just two or three sentences or a paragraph, a poem, something to help us remember that we are in the process, we're in the work of educating children. And so we have to make sure that no matter what is going on outside of that classroom space or inside this computer screen when we're teaching them, that is our focus. And you have to remind yourself of that every day. Like, I have like a journal that I keep where I write down things I want to accomplish during the day, just so that I can stay focused on that, because with the pandemic and all the other things that are going on in the world, we can easily get sidetracked. And I just think that, I mean, we're human too, it's life. And so we just have to remember that teachers and leaders are people just like we are. And so we just have to make sure that we kind of stay focused on that. And so as a leader, I have to work to try to remind my teachers of the goals that we set. And I expect the teachers to remind the children of those goals that we set, and just try to keep the parents focused on that, because there's so much other stuff going on. But mindset is the key to everything.
Let me stick with that mindset thing for a minute. A few minutes ago, you basically were talking about how people need to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think you spoke to some of how to try and get them to be there. You spoke about like goal setting is a big one, you know, keeping the end goal in mind, let's say, or really getting back to that why behind what you're doing. Do you have any other thoughts, tips, suggestions about how to help people kind of navigate away from their comfort zone?
I usually start with telling people to change your words, because the words that we speak are so powerful. They can make or break a child's wanting to actually reach a goal. They can make or break us when we say, oh, I can't do that. Oh, it's going to be the worst day ever. It's the words that you say to yourself actually make the most difference. And so you should begin your day with a positive thought. Today is going to be the greatest day. Even if I hit an obstacle or there's a barrier, I'm going to find a way around it. I'm not going to stop. I'm going to continue to work, persevere until I actually get there. It has to be intentional. And so when I first roll this out to educators, I usually tell them, I use that there's a growth mindset chart that has things that says like I can't do it, or I will try my best, or, you know, those types of words that you have to teach children to never say that I can't do something. Say that I will work harder. OK, never say that, you know, I'm done. I finished it. Is that my best work, though? And so that they'll continue to push themselves and learn how to push themselves to do better. It's the same with us as adults, because we do it all the time. If you think about, if you came home this evening and your wife asked you how your day was, a lot of times we have a tendency to remember all of the things that went wrong during our day. And the brain is prone to do those things because it's always trying to protect us and watch out for danger. And so that's why I write down positive things that actually happened during my day. Because usually it's just one or two things that maybe went wrong, but the rest of your day was fine. But that's where we are. And so, yeah.
It's funny, as you're talking about that, you know, a switch that we made in my house as parents, because, you know, I have two young kids, and my son is in fifth grade, my daughter's in first. But even two, 3 years ago, we noticed, obviously, that when you ask them about how their day goes, I don't know. Or like, what, you know, if you ask them what happened today, I don't know. Or stuff, you know, like they don't really remember, or they can't really tell. So we actually ask them now, what was the favorite part of your day? And I think to your point, that helps get rid of like the worst parts of their day. So if they focus on the favorite part of the day, then that kind of helps at least start to conjure up those positive things. And it helps them remember, you know, even at first, sometimes they can't think of something, but then when they do, a lot of times it just becomes like a whole lot of stories about the great things that happened to them. And it's making more sense in my mind as you say that, that basically we have done just what you're saying we should do, which is to change the language, change the vocabulary. So yeah, actually, I don't even know if you know this about me, and a lot of the questions that I've been asking you, especially about mindset, come from this place in me where I wrote a dissertation for my own doctoral work last year on so much of what we're talking about, which is basically, as leaders, how can we inspire a growth mindset in our teachers? And, you know, you speak about I kind of asked you about like the comfort zone. But a lot of what I wrote about was basically getting people to break through why they might be resistant to change and to help people through that. So I appreciate that conversation as well, because it's so much of what I'm interested in and what my work has really been about. But enough about mindset for now. Yeah, I'll send it to you. Enough about mindset, though. I could talk about that forever. I did want to ask you. I know I'll have to like get on the evening mastermind one time or something, and we'll chat then more. But this has been awesome. I did want to though ask you, because I know again your work has kind of evolved in terms of the space and everything. But you mentioned that you've gone to the internet and the website with the digital PD for you, but also that you've had this series of publications. You mentioned the second one is going to come out here in the next month or two, really. So tell us a little bit more about that.
Oh, Educator Reflection Tips. The first volume had 11 tips for educators. Each one has like a question, like, you know, how do you get your children to persevere in math? I asked them about their how, if they actually reflect on their own instructional practice, how do they grow themselves, and offer like tips, resources, infographics. Just, I mean, I tried to put everything that I would want in one book, but not have the same topic all throughout the book. So the premise is on reflection, but every chapter of the book is on a different topic. I don't see that in a lot of books. Most books carry that one theme throughout. So in this book, what I did was I went through and like one tip is on behavior. The question is, what methods are you using to turn around inappropriate behavior in the classroom? But then the tip in front of that is, are you using data effectively? And so I take teachers through just a mindset, the mindset that you should have when you're actually doing and teaching those things. So for data, I went through all of the different biases that you may not even know that you have when you look at data, so that you can truly look at it and have an impartial view when you're actually using the data. And so it's not from the perspective of just the educational field. I took psychology and education and kind of merged it together to make sure that as by the time you finish reading the chapter, your mindset has changed around that topic and evolved, so that you're ready to really dig deep and think deeply about your practice. And so that's the purpose of those that series. And so the second volume is actually I'm working with ConnectEd, and we're working to publish the second volume. March 31st is when it's slated to come out, so I'll keep you updated.
Not to ask you to give too much away for free, but I'm wondering what are some of the, if volume two is going to be set up much the same way, maybe some of the topics that could come up in volume two?
Volume two, there is a deep dive into virtual instruction. There is a chapter about how, because we're digital immigrants and children are digital natives, and how we can merge those two. There are pieces from each one that you can use. I take them through social and emotional learning, navigating change. Ironically, we talked about that. The first tip is a deep dive into the growth mindset, just to get them ready for it. There is more information on that, the self-reflection process that I talked to you about. There are pieces of it, but there's a much deeper dive. Hold on. Let me see. There are so many more. Hold on. Let me think.
That's all right. You don't have to give too much away.
I won't give you all of them,
we want people to buy it and use it and mm-hmm. you know, really use it to thoughtfully. And you mentioned before the word intent, like intentionally reflect. And I think it's great. Volume one is out already. Volume two is coming out. Where can people find that?
They can actually, there's a link on the Digital PD4U website. They can also just look it up on Amazon, or they can follow me on Twitter. And there's a link right at the top of my Twitter page at JJJJ821. If they want to follow me there, they can get the links to all of my information there, and actually sign up to get some reflection tips, because I give those at least 3 times a week on Twitter. I do a snapshot. It's just the original ones I started with. And then twice a month, I publish on my website, just a full scale. I also have a podcast that they could actually subscribe to if they just want to listen.
And what is that called? And where could they find that?
So my podcast is called Digital PD4U. It's actually on every platform. You name it, it's there. Spotify, Apple, Google, all of them.
That's great. You are one busy bee. Actually, you and your husband, I guess, right? It's a little bit of a tag team effort. Well, thank you so much for the work that you're doing, that you've done, that you continue to do in terms of getting educators to reflect and again, be intentional about their actions as educators and as influencers, really. And you've mentioned where people can find the book and how to reach out to you. So hopefully they do, because I think you're really onto something. I do. Again, I feel like it's something that happens in the first few years of a teacher's career. And then once they kind of get a little bit too comfortable, may not happen, or probably doesn't happen as often as it should. So thank you so much for your work and for your time here in this interview, in this episode.
Thanks for having me.
Well, that'll do it for this episode. Thank you so much for listening. If you haven't done so yet, don't forget to subscribe to this podcast on your favorite podcast app. Also, if you enjoy the content shared on the show, please recommend this podcast to other educators, leaders, friends, or anyone you think would love listening and learning. I would also appreciate it if you would leave a positive rating and review on Apple Podcasts, iTunes, or whatever podcast app you use to listen. For more information about me or this show, head over to leaderoflearning.com. While you're there, you can also find the Leader of Learning blog, how to connect on social media such as Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and Voxer, sign up for our newsletter, and even find out how to purchase Leader of Learning merchandise. Thanks again, and remember, no matter who you are or where you are, you too can be a leader of learning.